I'm now going to read something from a piece which was written a long time ago but is awaiting publication. It's dedicated to my three daughters, Phoebe, Beatrice and Naomi, and it's called Faulty Mothering. And it is again related to part of my work as a social worker, my role as a mum, and my involvement in adoption matters over the last 30 years, as well as my own part of my own part of being a child. Slipshod, worn through all my empty threats, smarty packets, gold stars, left with maternal comfort, exhaustion, forgiveness. Her eyes saw the back of the start right sandal as he turned the corner towards the pond. "Don't play near the water," she said. "I'm not," he shouted, her arms pit high in suds, legs aching. "I only put my foot in," he said, displaying the black silt up to his groin. The baby woke, red-faced, howling, then stopped. Suddenly. 98% of cot deaths, she recalled the report. Rachel ran in. "Is lunch ready? I'm starving." She picked him up and onto the edge of the wooden draining board and soaked his foot in the sink. She ran to the baby. "Rachel, shut up," she said, and ran past her. My history as a child was torn, wanting to please, be tidy, honest, faithful, and yet missing a link, a passport to the adult world. I was muzzled, calipered, orphaned. "I am tired of your trousers and shoes," she said. "They are full of you." When the twins were born, he never said, "I love you." He just said, "Great," and stood up when he'd seen their heads in the tiny plastic cots. He never brought flowers like the other fathers. She tried not to be hurt. She knew he did it on purpose. At night, she would cry herself to sleep between feeding the babies. One would wake, then the other. Her breast felt like sore bricks. "You ought to get some rest," he told her. Her friends made her go out alone, but at feeding time the milk came in and ran down the sides of her body and formed in droplets around her feet. When his family came, they would love playing with the twins, bouncing them high and making them laugh. "You are a lucky girl," his mother said. "You'd better go," I told him. "No use you hanging round here looking tormented. You go and make your life with her." He packed his clothes into a low-cost carrier bag. "Can I see Leah again?" he asked, as he went past your bedroom down the stairs. "No," I shouted. "You've made your choices." I remember he never looked back once. I watched him from the upstairs bedroom window. You woke up and asked for him. "Daddy will tuck you up," I said. I couldn't think of what else to say. At weekends, the men walk around Safeways, proud of their offspring, lay them on their backs like motorcycle parts. In the week, the women are wrecked, look dazed with tasks, fitting life in between school time, jamming toddlers into pram tops. Their legs are so heavy. Oval is the woman's shape. Her eggs are clear, honest, never scattered, permanent, stationary, internal. Children, knowing this, seek it out, nowhere to go for rest. In the prison, he was in solitary. He was pleased he had explained it all before. The psychiatrist who came drew a map of his family. He even brought a photograph of the child. His heart was an overblown melon. He ate the seeds, it was best. When she became pregnant, he brought her a silver star to hang around her neck. "I want to give you the moon," he said. She knitted. She was a pitcher. They all said it except her mother. When the baby came, she fed her, loved her, washed her tiny face. A week later, she threw the baby at him. "I can't do it," she said. "I'm no use." He cried. She cried. The baby cried. The doctor came. His mother arrived. The health visitor wrote things down. "I hate you," she said to the baby. "Lay down," they told her. The baby grew thin. She became fat. Her mother never came. "I told you I was no use," she said. And therefore was her labour much that more in washing and in wringing. To worry, to be connected with. The woman's lot is to worry, to be troubled with. Concerned, mixed up, loaded, windless, the sky takes fear, returns it, laundered, ready. Waiting for fortune to happen upon them, the men take chances, wonder at the reeling birds, diesel streets. More work to be done, not simply tidied.